1 week from tomorrow is my favorite holiday of the year. It's the day that we call Thanksgiving. And I love Thanksgiving. Love Thanksgiving. There's a story in the Gospel of Luke about the time that Jesus was going to Jerusalem and he passed through Galilee and Samaria and he met 10 sick people. 10 lepers. And they began to cry, "Lord, have mercy on us. Lord, heal us." And Jesus said, "Go show yourselves to the priest." And they did, and as they did, they were cleansed. Do you remember how many of them were thankful? Well, I want to suggest to you that all 10 of them were thankful. All 10 of them. I mean, there's no way that you can have leprosy and all of a sudden be healed, be cleansed without being thankful. Kind of like you having cancer. Imagine you have cancer and all of a sudden some doctor comes along and heals you. Would you be thankful? Absolutely you'd be thankful. And I'm convinced that all 10 of the guys, all 10 of the lepers were thankful, but only one came back to say, "Thank you." See, there's a difference in being thankful and giving thanks. I think that most of us are thankful for our families, but do we give thanks? I think that most of us are thankful for the church, but do we give thanks? I think we're thankful for our health, but do we give thanks? See, there's a difference in being thankful and giving thanks. Now, the Bible teaches both. In Colossians 3:15, Paul said, "And be ye thankful." Be thankful. But 2 verses later, Colossians 3:17, Paul said, "Whatever you do in word and deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to the Father through Him." So one verse, Colossians 3:15, says, "Be thankful." 2 verses later, Colossians 3:17 says, "Give thanks." There is a difference in being thankful and giving thanks. Well, I've said all that to say, not only am I thankful for the Mount Zion Church, I want to take just a few seconds and give thanks. Thank you, good people, for the invitation to be with you. I visit a number of different churches every year, but there's something special about this little spot on God's earth. There's a lot of love in this church. I hope that you know that. This is a very unique group of people. Kind of reminds me of the church that I grew up in. I grew up in a little country church outside of Huntsville, Alabama. If we had 50 on Sunday morning, that was a huge crowd for us. And that little church that I'm talking about doesn't even exist now. The building is no longer there. So I cannot go back to my roots. I cannot go back to my home church. No. But I tell you, you've given me the opportunity to come back home. Because this church reminds me of my home church. We've had some great crowds this week. Have you noticed the scoreboard? The scoreboard. 75 on Sunday morning, 74 on Sunday night, 77 Monday night, 74 tonight. Wow, what consistency. That is very, very consistent. I don't know how many people are here tonight. Maybe we have 70. I don't know. Wouldn't it be wonderful if we could just kind of stay in the 70s all week? But you have attended. You've listened well. And I just want to thank you for some of the nice things that you have said to me. As I told you last night, many of you have gone out of your way to make me feel very, very special. Again, you just never know what people are going to say when you go somewhere to preach. I remember some time ago went somewhere to preach and I marched back to the back and started shaking the folks out. And there was a guy, you know, you kind of expect people to go out and say something like, "Hey, enjoy the sermon, appreciate the lesson. That's going to be a blessing in my life." This guy walked out, he shook my hand, and there's not a nice way to tell you what he told me. But I'll just tell you what he told me, okay? He told me, he said, "Keith, you need to You need to zip up your pants. I had preached with my pants unzipped. Now, I didn't know that they were unzipped, you know, but he said, you need to pay yourself some attention. I heard about a preacher that was up preaching, and right in the middle of the sermon, he discovered, you know, he needed some attention. His pants were unzipped, and he didn't know what to do. He could not hide behind the pulpit because it was not one of these wooden pulpits. It was a plexiglass, see-through, you know. And when he discovered he needed some attention, the first thing that came to his mind right in the middle of the sermon, he said, let's pray. And everybody closed his eyes and bowed his head, and the preacher knelt down to pray. And he said, knelt down to pray. You know, he started giving himself some attention, zipping up his pants. When he came to the close of the prayer, he said, amen. The most horrible thing happened. He caught his tie in his fly. And he couldn't get up. He tried to get up. He couldn't get up. He said, let's pray again. So, you know, you just never know what people are going to say when you go somewhere to preach. But you have said some sweet, encouraging things to me. And I appreciate you. So thank you, brothers and sisters, for giving me the opportunity to come back to what I consider home. What a wonderful few days we've had together. Thank you. May the 28th of 2001, my family and I set out on a 65-day trip. You haven't been on a 65-day vacation? I had gone to the elders, the leaders of our church, about 5 years before, back in about 1996, 1997. And I said, you know, 5 years from now, the summer of 2001, my girls are going to be 15 and 12. And you know, I've been preaching a long time. And fellas, what I would like to do, I would like to take a leave of absence from the ministry. I kind of like to take a break in the summer of 2001. Well, that was 5 years before, and you know, 5 years to a lot of people sounds like an eternity, and so they permitted that. And so on May the 28th, those 5 years rolled around, and on May the 28th of 2001, my family and I set out on a 65-day trip. We ended up going to 22 states, went to 8 national parks. We drove 9,610 miles.
Wow.
It's a lot of miles.
Yeah.
My kids do not remember what they got for Christmas in 2001, but I promise you, they remember the summer of 2001. Every day was a holiday, and every night was Saturday night. We ended up going to Alaska on a cruise to Alaska. I've been to Alaska.
Cold.
Pete, you let me preach tonight, okay? It is cold in Alaska, but you let me preach tonight, okay? We ended up going on a cruise to Alaska, and that was our first trip to Alaska. I've been to Alaska 5 other times besides 2001, and been there 3 times to preach, 3 cruises to Alaska, but we went on a cruise to Alaska, and we had a big old time. I mean, every day was just a delight, but I'll never forget on that 65th day, as we drove from the state of Arkansas back into the state of Tennessee, we crossed the Mississippi River. We saw the sign, Tennessee welcomes you. Welcome to Tennessee. My oldest daughter in the back seat of the car, Ashley Nicole, spoke up from the back seat of the car, and she said when she saw the sign, it feels so good to be back home. And I quickly said to her on that occasion, sweetheart, we ain't home yet. And I want to say the same to you tonight. We ain't home yet. We ain't home yet. Went up north to preach. Went up to the state of Michigan some time ago. You ever been up north, met some wonderful people, sweet people? But folks, let me tell you, there's a difference in the way that southern people talk and the way that northern people talk. You know what I'm talking about? I mean, you can take one of those, our southern boys, and put him up there in the north, and in just a few minutes or a few days or a few months, he'll be talking with that Yankee accent, right? Now, you can take one of those northern boys and put him down here in the south, and in just a few months, we'll have him talking normally. But there's just a difference in the way that northern people talk and the way that southern people talk. And when I go up north to preach, and people hear me talk, you know what they want to know? Sir, where are you from? I go into a restaurant to eat. They hear me talk. Sir, where's your home? I go into a motel to check in. They hear me talk. Where are you from, sir? Where's your home? And you know what I usually say? Hendersonville, Tennessee. Just outside of Nashville, about 20 miles outside of Nashville. Home of Johnny Cash. I mean, you say the same about Kentucky, right? You go on a trip, on a vacation, somebody says, "Hey, sir, where's your home? Ma'am, where are you from?" What do you say? Kentucky, right? Bowling Green, Kentucky, that's home. And see, brothers and sisters, the writers of this book come along, they say that's wrong. Kentucky's not home, and Tennessee's not home, and Hendersonville is not home, and Bowling Green, it's a wonderful community, but I'm telling you, it's not home. Our home is in heaven.
Amen.
And that's what we're going to be talking about tonight, a lesson entitled, From Birth to Heaven. I'm glad you're here. I want you to open your Bibles, please, to Revelation chapter 21. It's the last book in the book. The book of Revelation, chapter 21. Have you noticed that all of these lessons have been from the minds of the gospel writers? I mean, we started Sunday morning in Bible class by talking about Mark 16 from the Gospel of Mark, from lost to saved, what a person needs to do to be saved. He that believes and is baptized shall be saved. And that was Sunday morning. And in Sunday morning's lesson, we went to the gospel writer John, not from the book of John, but from the book of Revelation, to talk about from cold to hot. And that was Sunday morning. And then Sunday night, we went back to the Gospel of Mark to talk about from monster to minister. Go tell what the Lord has done for you. And then on Monday night, we went to the Gospel of Luke, from a pig pen to a palace, the story of the prodigal son. And the last night, we went back to the gospel writer Mark to talk about from last to first. Jesus said, if you really want to be great, if you really want to be first, you've got to become a servant. That's what we talked about last night. Well, we're going to bring this week to a close by going back to the writer John, the gospel writer John. Not from the book of John, but from the book of Revelation. And I want you to listen to what John said about the place that all of us need to call home. Revelation 21, let's start in verse 1. Verse 1 of Revelation 21. John said, "And I saw a new heaven and a new earth. For the first heaven and the first earth were passed away. And there was no more sea. And I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, Behold, look, watch, the tabernacle of God is with men, and He will dwell with them. And they shall be His people, and God Himself shall be with them and be their God. And God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes. And there shall be no more death, neither sorrow nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things are passed away. And he that sat upon the throne said, Behold, I make all things new. And he said unto me, Write, for these words are true and faithful. And he said unto me, It is done. I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. I will give unto him that is athirst of the fountain of the water of life freely. He that overcometh shall inherit all things. And I will be his God, and he shall be my son. But the fearful and the unbelieving and the abominable and murderers, and whoremongers, and sorcerers, and idolaters, and all liars shall have their part in the lake that burns with fire and brimstone, which is the second death." And that's Revelation 21, verses 1 through 8. Ladies and gentlemen, sometimes I do not think like it. Sometimes I do not talk like it. Sometimes I do not act like it. But if I know my heart more than anything in the world, I want to go to heaven. What about you? See, more than anything in the world, I want to be saved. I was born to this world, and God, the God of heaven, wants me to be saved. He wants me to go to heaven. And tonight, I want to tell you why. On this journey from birth to heaven, let me tell you why I want to be saved, why I want to go to heaven. In the first place, I want to go to heaven because my Savior will be there. My Savior. Now, when I say Savior, I'm not just talking about Jesus, okay? I'm talking about God. God the Father, God the Son, and even God the Holy Spirit. I'm talking about God Himself. I want to go to heaven to be with God. I want to go to heaven to be with my Savior. I want you to go back to verse 3. Revelation 21 and verse 3. John said, "And I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, Watch, look,
The tabernacle of God is with men. Do you see the word tabernacle in your Bible in verse 3? Maybe your Bible says the dwelling of God is with men. Maybe your Bible says the presence of God is with men. In Old Testament times, the tabernacle, you remember, signified the presence of God. Wherever the tabernacle would go, God himself would go. Well, here in Revelation 21 in verse 3, John is saying the tabernacle of God is with men, or the dwelling, the presence of God is with men. And he, God, will dwell with them, and they shall be his people, and God himself shall be with them and be their God. Let me tell you what we find in Revelation 21 and verse 3. Folks, in heaven, the distance between the creature and the creator is removed. In heaven, we'll have a face-to-face confrontation with God. We'll be able to sit down and worship God and visit with God and talk to God in God's immediate presence. You say, wait a minute, Keith. Oh, we have God's presence on earth, don't we? Well, I know that the Bible teaches. Jesus said in Matthew 28 and verse 20, I'll be with you always. Hebrews 13, 5 and 6, God said, I'll never leave you, I'll never forsake you. So I understand, folks. I understand while living on earth, we have God's presence to a small degree. But let me tell you something. The closest that we can get to God down here, the nearest that we can draw to God on earth, I'm telling you, it will not be as near as the lowliest of saints in heaven. In heaven, we'll be with God face to face. Jesus put it like this in John 14. Listen to what he said. We often use it at funerals. It's a great passage. Jesus said, let not your heart be troubled. Don't be discouraged. Don't be bothered. He said, you believe in God, believe also in me. He said, in my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go to prepare a place for you, he said, hey, I will come again and receive you to myself. Now, I love this part. Here's the part that I really want you to notice. The Savior said that where I am, there you may be also. I want you to imagine, folks, that Jesus is among us tonight, okay? Now, I know he's here. We're two or three gathered together. My name, I'm in the midst of them. Matthew 18 and verse 20. But I want you to imagine that Jesus is here in flesh, okay? In body. In fact, imagine that Jesus is behind this door. He's back here in this room. Maybe he's back over here in this fellowship hall, okay? In body. The Lord Jesus Christ is here tonight. He's sitting in that chair. You can't see him, but he's here. He's over there. We sing the last song. Brother Greg gets up here and says, let's all sing. Let's be the tabernacle. Brother, would you lead us in prayer? And we all pray. It's the closing prayer. We say amen. Church is over. Let me ask you a question. Which way would you go? You're parked out there. You're parked that way. Jesus is over here. Honestly, folks, which way would you go? If Jesus were with us tonight in flesh, would you be anxious to get home?
Yeah.
Man, I can't wait to see that program. I can't wait to listen to that ball game. If Jesus were with us tonight, which way would you go? Would you go back here to maybe shake his hand, to hug his neck? Maybe you would pull out your cell phone and get a picture with Jesus. Would you get Jesus to sign your Bible? Would you get his autograph? How much do you really want to be with the Lord? See, Jesus said, you know, where I am, you can be there too. And Jesus did not lie. He did go to prepare that place. Acts 1, 9 through 11. He ascended back into heaven. And then Paul said in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 16, you remember the passage. What does he say? For the Lord himself, who? Not somebody else, but the Lord himself, the Savior himself, shall descend from heaven with a
shout.
With a what?
Shout.
You're right, Pete. You know, I know in churches of Christ, we don't want to have a lot of shouting. We don't want the preacher yelling, right? I mean, that's too denominational. That's too Pentecostal, right? We don't want the preacher shouting. Folks, when Jesus comes, he's coming with a
shout.
He's coming with a shout, right? The voice of the angel of the trumpet of God, the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we, which are alive and remain, shall be caught together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord. Where? Not on earth, but to meet the Lord in the air. And then Paul said, 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, And verse 17, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. The Lord's going to be there.
Yeah.
We're going to be with the Lord.
Yeah.
Folks, I don't know about you, but I want to go to heaven to be with my Father, my Heavenly Father. And I don't know if it's going to be possible, but I want to hug Him, and I want to thank Him for sending His Son Jesus. And say, I want to go to heaven to be with God the Spirit, the Holy Spirit. And again, I don't know if it's going to be possible, but it's possible to hug Him and to thank Him for giving to me the mind of God through the Holy Bible. And I want to go to heaven to be with God the Son, my Savior. And if possible, I want to hug Him and thank Him and say, thank you, Jesus, for dying. Thank you for bleeding. Thank you for being raised. Thank you for paying the price. Thank you, Jesus. And I tell you, folks, I say, as Paul said, I'd rather be absent from this body. I'd rather be absent from this life to be at home with the Lord. 2 Corinthians 5 and verse 8. You say, Keith, why do you want to go to heaven? I tell you why. God's going to be there. The Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit, face to face with God. Let me give you another reason. In the second place, I want to go to heaven because the saints, the saved, are going to be there. You're in Revelation 21. Look back to verse 3. Don't miss verse 3. John said in verse 3 of chapter 21, the tabernacle of God is with men, and He, God, will dwell with, here they are,
with whom?
The saints, with them, with them, and they shall be His people. There they are, the saved, the saints, and God Himself shall be with them and be their God. Look down at verse 7. John said, he that overcomes, you've got to overcome. Overcome what? Satan, sin, self. He that overcomes shall inherit all things, and I will be his God, and he shall be my son. And there they are in the same verse 7. I will be his God. The Savior's going to be there. The Father's going to be there. God's going to be there. And he shall be my son. The saints, the saved, are going to be there. Imagine what it's going to be like in heaven with the people of the Bible. People like Noah, the guy that built that boat. Daniel, the one that was thrown into the den of lions. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Can you imagine? The guys that were thrown into the fiery furnace. Moses. Wow. David, the man after God's own heart. The apostles, Peter, Andrew, James, John. Can you imagine what it's going to be like? I mean, here it is. First day of heaven. First day. I mean, all of a sudden we wake up and we're in heaven. And you know, here's a guy, and he's talking about that sermon that he preached when 3,000 walked down a church aisle to be baptized. 3,000 converted after one sermon. We're thinking, wait a minute, 3,000 baptized in one day? Peter, is it really you? Can you imagine being with Peter in heaven? Wow. He got up and preached that sermon. Repent, be baptized. Every one of you in the name of Jesus for the forgiveness of sins. You'll receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. The promises to you, to your children, to all that are far off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call. And with many other words did he testify and exhort, saying, save yourselves from this crooked generation. Then they that gladly received the word were baptized, and the same day there were added to them about 3,000 souls. Acts 2, 38 through 41. And here's a guy in heaven, the first day of heaven. He's talking about the sermon that he preached when 3,000 responded to be baptized. And you know, you kind of want to paint yourself. Is this real? Am I dreaming? This is here? Wow. And then over here, here's a guy who's talking about his three missionary trips, his three journeys, and then of his trip to Rome. And we're thinking, Paul? The Apostle Paul.
Can you imagine, folks, what it's going to be like in heaven talking to Paul? I mean, how much time will we devote to conversations with, I don't know. But can you imagine having a conversation with the guy that you've heard about all of your life, Paul, the apostle? And then over here, here's a guy, he's talking about love. And we're thinking, love? John, the disciple whom Jesus loved, the beloved disciple, John? Wow. I tell you, being with these folks in heaven, being with the saints of the Bible in heaven, would kind of be like getting on a train and going to a faraway city, a distant city, to be with best friends. And that's who they will be, best friends, the saved, the redeemed of the Bible. You've been to Hollywood? I've been to Hollywood several times. But I tell you, folks, being with the people of the Bible, the saved of the Bible, the saints of Scripture, would mean more to me than being with any movie star Hollywood has ever produced. Come to Nashville, Tennessee. Country music stars. But I'm telling you, being with the saved of the Bible would mean more to me than being with any musician of the world. It would be like kind of getting on a bus, getting on a train, going away to be with best friends. But let me tell you something. Not only do I want to be with the saints of the Bible, I want to be with the saints, the Christians that I currently know on earth. If you're a baptized believer, and this is not invitation time, okay? So please don't reach for your songbooks and don't get nervous, okay? This is not invitation time. But if you're a baptized believer, if you believe in Jesus and you've been baptized into Christ and you're walking in the light, 1 John 1 and verse 7, my brother, my sister, I want to go to heaven to be with you. You're going to heaven and I want to go to heaven to be with you. Hey, David, I want to go to heaven to be with you and your family. Ryan, Brett, you and your family. Greg, you and your family. Steve, you and your family. Jerry, you and your family. Brad, you and your family. You say, do you think we'll know each other in heaven? Yeah, yeah. You know, I believe that the Bible teaches we'll know each other in heaven. You say, well, Keith, what if we get to heaven and we look all over the pearly city?
Walk.
Yeah, you will walk, I suspect, Pete. I suspect you will. But you say, Keith, what if we get to heaven and we look all over that pretty city and we check every apartment list and every mansion and we find out a loved one is not there? Somebody says, wait a minute, preacher. How can we be happy in heaven realizing that a loved one is in hell? I don't know. The best that I can offer is trust the promises of God, because God said in heaven with God Himself and with the saved, with the saints, we'll be happy. We'll be happy. And that's why I want to go, folks. Number one, my God's going to be there. My Savior's going to be there. And number two, my brothers and sisters are going to be there. Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, people in the church today. Let me give you another reason. In the third place, I want to go to heaven because in heaven there won't be any sin. No sin in heaven. You're in Revelation 21. Notice verse 8. What's the first word in your Bible in verse 8, audience? First word. Do you see the word but? B-U-T. Do you see that? Is that in your Bible? Maybe your Bible says something else. My Bible says but. And that kind of reverses the picture. That changes the scene. See, John is speaking about heaven. Revelation 21 in verse 1, he speaks about heaven. Verse 2, he speaks about heaven. 3 is heaven. 4 is heaven. 5 is heaven. 6 is heaven. Verse 7 is heaven. You get down to verse 8 and the very first word is what? But. That kind of gets our attention. He says, but the fearful or the cowardly. You can't be a coward, a spiritual coward, and go to heaven. He says, but the fearful and the unbelieving or the untrustworthy, those who lack in faith. The fearful and the unbelieving and the abominable, what does that mean? Anybody who messes up, transgress the laws of God. Murderers, we understand that. Whoremongers. Who's a whoremonger? Well, those who use their bodies or their minds for sexual, unlawful sexual desires, activities. You say, Keith, I don't cheat on my marriage. Well, maybe you're addicted to pornography. Maybe you're watching movies that the preacher on Sunday says you ought not to be watching. See, there are a lot of ways that we can be fornicators, whoremongers.
John says, sorcerers. Who's a sorcerer? Partakers of magical arts, enchantments, potions, poisons, etc. Idolaters. You say, man, I've never fallen down before a golden idol. I've never fallen down before a golden calf. What about money? Are you in love with money?
Covetousness is idolatry. Colossians 3 and verse 5. Greed is idolatry. John said, idolaters and all liars. Folks, if you don't learn anything else from tonight's lesson, let me just plant this seed in your heart. Don't ever lie. Lying is always wrong. If there's anything that God hates, it's a lying tongue. In fact, think about the six things the Lord hates, seven that are an abomination. Proverbs 6. Do you realize that two of them have to do with dishonesty? God says, I hate a lying tongue. I hate a false witness. So don't ever lie. Always tell the truth. See, John says these people and all liars shall have their part of the lake that burns with fire and brimstone. Look down to verse 27. Notice how the chapter closes. Revelation 21 and verse 27. John says, and there shall no wise enter into it. He's been talking about that beautiful city, the place called heaven. There shall no wise enter into heaven anything that defiles. What does that mean? In other words, that you won't go to heaven if you're unclean. Anything that is unclean, unclean words flowing from your lips, unclean thoughts dwelling in your mind, unclean deeds on your hands. And I'll be honest with you, folks, I don't want you to go to heaven unclean. God doesn't want you to go to heaven unclean. God says you can't go to heaven unclean. No unclean thing will enter my holy city. And isn't that reason enough for me to stand up here and say, hey, folks, if you're not a Christian, become a Christian tonight. If you're a Christian, you've just kind of been playing church, going through the motions. Hey, get fired up again. Come back home tonight. Come forward and let us pray with you and for you. Because see, in heaven won't be any sin, no impure thing, unclean thing in heaven. I want to be honest with you, okay? Just kind of bare my soul with you. I don't know if you've ever heard David say this or another preacher say something similar to this. I tell you what I wish, folks. I wish that I could get up here and just tell you, man, I'm a preacher. And you know, preachers don't ever struggle with sin. Man, I'm never even tempted. I wish that I could say that. I'm a holy man of God, and I wish that I could get up here and say, man, I never struggle with sin. I'll be honest with you. Satan sometimes gets the best of me. I mean, sometimes he throws the bait, the temptations, and I'm kind of like that fish. Mouth open, and I swallow it. And he pulls me into this deceit, this honesty. And then I wake up and I think, Keith, what in the world have you done? And I messed up spiritually. And then I repent of it and I say, God, please forgive me, man. I'm sorry, Father. And then maybe a few days later, he throws that bait again, that temptation. And I tell you, I'm tired of that process, folks. I'm tired of being tempted. I'm tired of sin. I'm tired of Satan. I'm tired of unholiness. You say, Keith, why do you want to go to heaven? I tell you why. Won't have to struggle with temptation in heaven. See, the devil won't be there to say, go ahead and do it. I mean, nobody's going to find out. Go ahead and drink a little. You mean you've never been drunk? You mean you've never even tasted it? Come on, man. Get a life. Go ahead and do it. Maybe you've heard some of those words. Maybe you've been enticed to cheat or to lie, to steal, to be unfaithful to your marriage. And I don't know what you struggle with from a temptation standpoint. Maybe you get angry. You blankety blank blank. You throw out those words you know you ought not to be saying. Maybe that's your sin struggle. But I'm telling you, folks, in heaven, you won't struggle with sin. Satan won't be there. No temptation in heaven. Oh, that's why I want to go. Number one, the Savior's going to be there. Number two, the saints, the saved are going to be there. And then number three, John says, no sin. No Satan, no temptation in heaven. Let me give you another reason. Go back to verse 4 in the fourth place. I want to go to heaven because in heaven won't be any sorrow. No sorrow in heaven. Look to verse 4. I love verse 4. It's one of my favorite verses in all the Bible. Scripture says, and God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes. Ask you to do me a favor. Do yourself a favor. Think about the last time you cried. When was the last time you cried? Have you cried this week?
Yeah.
When was the last time you cried? Cried this month?
Yeah.
Is there anybody here tonight besides Pete? When was the last time you cried? Maybe you've been through some heartache emotionally. A friend just kind of shoved you under the car, embarrassed you. Your friend. And now there's a strain on the relationship. Maybe you've been through a painful divorce. You didn't want the divorce. God, you know God hates divorce and you hate divorce. And yet now you wake up and you find yourself, I've been there, I've been divorced. Maybe you've been through some pain financially. Maybe you've been through bankruptcy. Maybe you've had a disease that you've wrestled with and you find yourself not feeling good. And maybe it's cancer. See, in heaven, God will wipe away all tears from your eyes. And, I love this part, there shall be no more death. No more death. I told you about my fathers. I lost my fathers this year.
Yeah!
All of us have lost people that we know, people that we're close to. No death in heaven, folks. Won't have to die in heaven. Yeah, Peachy will walk. You'll get out of that wheelchair. That'd be a good thing. No brain damage in heaven. No handicaps in heaven. No arthritis in heaven, folks. No cancer. No death. You know, living down here, we're familiar with death. We hear about death. I wish that I knew the number of funerals that I've done in my lifetime. I have no idea. I've done a lot of funerals. And what do you say when unprepared people die? You know, how does a preacher preach the funeral of a guy that's made no preparation? I've done a lot of funerals. I don't know what to say. I don't enjoy funerals. Who's going to preach your funeral?
You.
Maybe I will, Pete. What about the rest of you? Who's going to preach your funeral? You ever thought about it? Is David going to preach your funeral? Somebody else? What do you want the preacher saying at your funeral, huh? You know, most of us want the preacher to get up, make us look good, and give us an A+, and just preach us right into heaven, right? But what do you say when a wicked man dies? I heard about two brothers. They were the meanest and the most unkind, the most inconsiderate man you've ever known. I mean, they were just rotten through and through. They were rascals to the core, and everybody knew it. And one day, one of these brothers died. And the living brother went to the local preacher and said, "Preacher, my brother's died. I need you to do his funeral." And the preacher thought about it and knew the guy and said, "I'm sorry, I don't want to do his funeral." And the living brother said, "Man, we have nobody else. You've got to do my brother's funeral. I can't do his funeral." The brother said, "Preacher, I'll pay you $1,000 if you do my brother's funeral." The preacher said, $1,000? When do you want it? "Sure, I'll do his funeral." The brother said, "I'll pay you $1,000 provided that somewhere through the funeral service you refer to my dead brother as a saint." "A saint?" the preacher asked. Well, he thought about it. He thought about that $1,000. And he said, "Okay, brother, I'll do it. I'll do that." Well, the big day came. And there was standing room only. I mean, word had gotten out all over this little town that somewhere through the funeral service, the preacher was going to refer to the dead man as a saint. And everybody wanted to hear it. Well, the preacher got up, had a little Bible reading, had a little prayer. And then he started. He said, "Ladies and gentlemen, lying before me is one of the meanest, the most unkind, the most inconsiderate men that I've ever known. He was rotten. He was a rascal through and through. He was a snake. You knew it." But he said, "You know, compared to his brother out there in the audience, this guy was a saint." Well, what's the preacher going to say at your funeral, huh? You know, most of us want the preacher to get up and just kind of, man, lay it on thick and preach us right into heaven. Let me tell you something, folks. If you want the preacher to preach into heaven when you die, live so we can. Would you live so we can? But you know, in heaven won't be any death, no funerals there. And so I don't know, maybe one of the first things that we'll have to get used to in heaven is, why, Dylan, here we are in heaven. I saw you 100 years ago. You mean you're still here? You haven't died? And old Dylan looks back at me and says, "Yeah, Keith, you're still here too. You haven't passed away."
And then we go our separate ways, and who knows, maybe we meet 2,500 years later. And I say, hey, Dylan, after 2,500 years, you ain't changed a bit. Oh, Dylan says, Keith, you ain't changed a bit either. See, in heaven, won't be any changes, won't be any cemeteries, no funerals, no worn out bodies, no gray hair, no arthritis, no wheelchairs, no cancer, no divorce, no sorrow in heaven. That's why I want to go. And then I close by saying this. I want to go to heaven because in heaven, how special, how beautiful, how super heaven must be. We talk about the super bowl, folks. I tell you what's going to be super. Heaven is going to be super. You're in Revelation 21. Look back to verse 1. Look back to verse 1. John said, and I saw a new heaven and a new earth, unlike anything I've ever seen before. And altogether, new heaven and a new earth. For the first heaven and the first earth were passed away, and there was no more sea. What does that mean? No sea. Well, maybe you've been on the sea. No more restlessness, no more wild thing, no more mysterious thing. And then I love verse 2. You talk about special, you talk about super. Listen to what John says in verse 2. And I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven. I love this part. I love this part. Prepared as a bride, adorned, dressed for the husband. You know, as a minister, not only have I done a lot of funerals, I've done a lot of weddings. Now, I really don't enjoy funerals. It's an honor when somebody asks you to do his funeral. But I really don't like funerals. I tell you what I like, though. I like weddings. I really enjoy weddings. I've done a lot of weddings. And I tell you, folks, out of all the weddings I've ever done, I've never met an ugly bride, have you? I mean, all the brides have been beautiful. Now, some of them just barely made it, but all of them have been beautiful, okay? And John says, let me tell you what this city's going to be like. Let me tell you what heaven's going to be like. It's going to be like a bride adorned for her husband. You talk about special. You talk about super. Sometimes we sing about it, how beautiful heaven must be. I've been to Jamaica, and I've seen the white sandy beaches of Montego Bay. I've been to the Bahama Islands. I've seen those tall palm trees there. As I told you, I've been to Alaska 6 times. The snow-capped mountains in that unique, very special place. I've been to Russia. I've looked into the eyes of those Russian people, the beautiful Russian boys and girls. I've been to the Philippines. I've seen the warmth and the hospitality, the kindness of those in the Philippines. I've been to India. Went to India this past year. Met some super special people in India. I've been to Europe. Seen the snow-capped mountains of the Alps. I've been to the Bible lands. I've taken a boat right across the Sea of Galilee, as I told you about. I've been to the city of Jerusalem, the place where Jesus died. I've been to the city of Bethlehem, where Jesus was born. I've been to a lot of unique places. But I tell you, folks, the beauty that I see in this place, the uniqueness that I see in heaven, I've never seen on earth. How special, how wonderful, how super heaven must be. You say, Brother Keith, why do you want to go to heaven? I tell you why. The Savior's going to be there. The Savior's going to be there. No sin, no sorrow there. And how special, how super heaven must be. What's going to happen tonight? It's the last night of this revival. We've had a good week. Well, we have some people who need to be saved. Folks, please don't miss heaven. Don't miss heaven. We have some people who need to come tonight and acknowledge that Jesus Christ is Lord. For with the heart man believes into righteousness, with the mouth confession is made into salvation. Romans 10, 9 and 10. You need to come tonight and say, Jesus Christ is Lord. I want to give my life to Him. You've heard the sermons. You've heard preachers get up and say, you ought to be baptized. You ought to be baptized. You ought to be baptized. And that's right. We've got some people here tonight who need to be baptized. What are you waiting for? What are you waiting for? Get up. Get up and be baptized. Wash away your sins. Call them on the name of the Lord. Acts 22:16. We have some young people who need to be baptized in Christ. We have some old ones who need to be baptized in Christ. What are you waiting for? Tonight's the night. Tonight's the night. Wouldn't it be great if maybe 4 or 5 could come and say, I'm ready to become a Christian? Why don't you lead the way? Why don't you come to me? You say, Keith, you're not talking to me because, man, I was baptized when I was 12. Oh, you've been baptized into Christ? I'm glad you've been baptized. Let me ask you a question. Honestly, how are you and Jesus doing right now? You and the Lord. Jesus said, if you love me, obey John 14:15. If you love me, keep my commandments. Are you closer to Jesus tonight than you've ever been in your life? You pray more now than you've ever prayed. You give more now than you've ever given. You attend church more now than you've ever attended. You read and study Scripture now more now than you've ever read and studied Scripture. Are you and Jesus doing okay right now? See, I think we have some Christians who just need to renew your faith. You need to come and say, man, I need to get on fire. I need to get started again. I need revival in my life. I've kind of been doing church like I do work. I clock in, I clock out. I put in my time. See you later the next Sunday. You need to do better. Heaven's at stake. Folks, listen to me. There is a hereafter. But the after depends on the here. There is a hereafter, but the after depends on the here. What we do in this life will determine where we go in the next life. If you're saved, you know you're going to heaven. Sing enthusiastically. Pray for those that need to come tonight. If you would have to walk out and say, you know, I want to go to heaven, but I just don't know. Don't leave tonight with doubts. Do what's right tonight, would you? Do what's right tonight. Who's going to come and say, pray for me? Who's going to come and say, man, I'm ready to be born again? Why don't you lead the way? For heaven's sake, lead the way. Let's sing the invitation. Who's going to come?
I was just a little boy, but my own mother wanted to know.
can understand why the preacher would get so emotional, why the preacher would just beg and stop the Sunday. And so Jesus asked him, he said, "Brother, why do you do that? Why don't you just get up and preach your sermon and people will respond? That's fine. If they don't respond, you know, that's their business. Why do you just beg and plead?" And I'll never forget what the preacher did. He said to my mother, "Ma'am, do you have a Bible?" And of course, my mother did. And he got my mother's Bible, and he turned over to 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 11. He just read it. Here's what Paul said, 2 Corinthians 5, verse 11. "Knowing the terror of the Lord, we persuade men." He said, "Ma'am, that's fine. I know God's wrath. I know God's wrath." Folks, yes, there's a place called heaven, but there's the other place. And one day Jesus will either say, "Come, be blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world." Or he will say, with tears in his eyes, "Depart from me, you cursed, into everlasting fire." Maybe you're saved. I hope you are. Rejoice if you are. Praise God. But I have a feeling that an audience of the signs on this Wednesday night, maybe Sunday to be prayed for, come back home, maybe Sunday to obey Jesus in baptism. So I'm begging you, just a little bit longer. Please do what's right tonight. David and others are planting a lot of seed. I've been here to put a little water on that seed, and God will give the increase. I understand that. But knowing the terror of the Lord, we persuade men. So I want us to sing at least one more verse, maybe two verses of the same song. God is calling. Would you answer?
"Come, there's bread in the house of God.